Good morning, this is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. As you might have heard last week, a Milwaukee woman was honored last week with a fellowship from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the so-called Genius Grant. Ann Basting was among 23 people honored for their originality, insight, and potential. The award is an essentially no-strings-attached grant of $625,000 over 5 years.
Basting, who's a professor of theater at UW-Milwaukee, was honored for her work with aging people, specifically those with dementia and other cognitive impairments. The organization she founded, called Time Slips, uses storytelling techniques to engage people with cognitive loss by using their imaginations.
Basting has talked about several specific projects on this show before, but we asked her back to put her work in a wider context. Ann Basting, welcome back to the show and congratulations.
Thank you. Genuine thank you to every person who has said that to me in the last couple days. It's been overwhelming.
Well, and I think we want to get at the last couple days, but what I would really like to do, we've had you in the studio, you've sat in this chair any number of times talking
we're
about
old friends
the,
now.
Yeah, talking about the, and don't forget us, little people.
Yeah.
But we've talked about the work you do any number of times, but I don't remember whether we've ever talked about why you started the work that you do and when you started it.
How and why I started it. It's now feels almost so organic to me that I have to almost force myself back to an origin point. And the one that I've come to find that makes the most sense to me is just in middle school, typical middle school experience growing up in Janesville, in any place really, it was just hard. Kids can be mean. And I found myself with no friends. It's a famous family story in my family. And my mom decided that since I liked art, she was going to help me and put me in art classes. And it happened to be that it was me and about a dozen retired people. So it was a forlorn 13-year-old and my new friends. And it was fantastic. I loved the quiet flow that we would get into, and we helped each other improve and grow skills. And it became very normal to me to have older friends. And then from there, it kind of spiraled out. I was friends with my grandmother and her friends. You know, one summer in college, I was spending a month in Chicago, and I hung out mostly with my grandma's friend, Rose. You know, I had classmates, and we'd go out too, but it became part of who I was. So that's really the deeper roots of it. And one of the things I really strive to do in the work is to let young people know that that's okay. Like, older people aren't scary, or you can make friends with older people, and it's a very good thing.
Do you think it took you some getting used to that idea, or was it kind of was it love at first sight, if you will?
I think I was one of those kids who didn't get along with kids their own age. I tended to think differently. I didn't care about the same things. And I seem to be more understood by older people than my middle school peers. I mean, I found some balance later on. I have friends my own age and even friends younger. But it just was a kind of a natural state for me.
It's interesting because in generations previous, that multi-generational exchange was so normal, and we seem to have lost that.
We segregate ourselves in many ways, as Milwaukee painfully knows. There are some very clear ones that we do here. But we also consistently segregate ourselves according to age and ability. And we've gotten better. There's some laws protecting integration people with disabilities, but we still really age segregate, partially our schools. We're starting to crack that down a little bit with I love having older non-traditional students in my classrooms. They just add everything, a perspective that is totally different. And that's really one of the things that's also at the root of my work, is trying to break down that age segregation and disability, too. I think we have a lot of fears about aging and disability, and particularly the marriage of the two. And just coming to face with it, face to face with it, you lose that pretty quickly.
The kind of work that you're doing is it's theatrical, it's storytelling, it's also social work in a way.
You know,
you've married a couple of disciplines there that a lot of people don't.
Well, I've come to really say that this work is about bringing absolute high artistic rigor, like the highest discipline of artistic rigor, to the highest discipline of evidence-based practice and care practices. And you get that from collaborating at a deep level with professional artists. They aren't taking over. It is a true collaboration where the expertise is really on both sides. And they could not do this work without the expertise of the people they're collaborating with. And so Milwaukee can be a showcase for this cutting-edge intergenerational work, is going to be a showcase for that.
What is this so-called genius grant going to enable you to do?
I've been joking about that.
Aside from getting new business cards.
Right. Brad and I were joking last night. We were like, well, we've got a lot of mismatching lids on our Tupperware. let's get some new Tupperware. So I'm still in a period of shock. I mean, I've known for a month, but that doesn't help. You know, a little bit of it. I really still have been in shock. I feel like time slips is on the cusp of being able to do to pour this approach of creative connection into every system. You know, we've been doing service learning with college students. We've been training family caregivers. We've been working through Meals on Wheels. We've been we're touching almost every system now. We just launched last week a 50 nursing home training across the state of Wisconsin. I spent last summer connecting with Wisconsin-based museums that are sort of cultural Wisconsin identity museums, and asking them if we could use some of their collection as prompts for those 50 nursing homes that we'll be training. And they're, of course, all jumping on board. So I made this great little booklet of prompts from the National Historic Cheesemaking Center in Monroe, the World Circus, the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, you know, just this array of really great places that. So now when we work with those 50 nursing homes, they can pull creative prompts from the identity of where they are. And we can grow creative care through the museum network, through those nursing homes. We're transforming the community that surrounds the elder. And in fact, the trainings are called Creative Community of Care Training. So, I mean, we are so poised to do this. So I feel like a lot of what this is going to do is help us build the infrastructure to be able to start carrying this to scale in a way that I'm just excited. I feel like it can be part of a tipping point of the way we approach aging.
Does being labeled even colloquially as a genius raise the stakes? I mean, do people change their expectations of you?
I hope they've always had expectations of me at that level. I also think, you know, it's really hard, and I'm sure I've looked at the other fellows, and it's very humbling because they are they're incredible.
It's a pretty rarefied company you're in.
They're incredible people.
And you get to hang out with them, too, don't you?
I get to hang out with them and learn from them.
But
for me in particular, I don't know that I've done anything that isn't collaborative. And so suddenly to be thrust in this place where genius is assumed to belong to an individual is kind of silly to me. I'm thankful. I mean, everything I've been trying to say in Orient is like, I am the sum of all my collaborative partners. And our efforts have gotten, you know, me as a spokesperson for this work to this place. I've described this feeling of the last month as like a tsunami of gratitude. It's like a giant wave of it that hits you. And that really is the feeling of it.
You've also had the tsunami of the press, too, in the last couple of days.
Yes.
How has that felt?
Mild panic matched by and I think that's why MacArthur gives you a month, so that you're settled a little bit by the time that wave hits you. So you can, I hope, be somewhat articulate about what you want to do. I mean, you can still kind of hear the shock in my voice, and I'm sure in the other folks. But you have a narrow window to stand, you know, on this pedestal to let people know about, you know, the work and the goals you have. So it's been an incredible privilege too.
It's a narrow window, but at the same time, the work you do from here on out will always come with a Basting, who won the MacArthur Genius
yeah,
Grant
that
in 2016.
That's on there now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it changes everything. And I've had dreams and visions of like collaborating with large systems. I would love to bring as help. I'm just going to share some raw dreams now that I hope, you know, maybe if somebody's listening or maybe when I make a phone call now, somebody will say, you know what, you know, I know she has good ideas. Somebody said she has good ideas. But like all this telehealth, why does it only have to measure why a certain bodily function of that day, in the same way that we brought meaning through the questions of the day through Meals on Wheels, we can bring it through the telehealth system. And we're ready to do it. You know, we have all this capacity to do it. And then also research partners. You know, we for a while were doing our own research studies, but now it just makes more sense for us to innovate and partner with research partners who can do this, who can study what we're doing. We're one of the few creative engagement programs that are super replicable because of the online training, and that's a researcher's dream. So all you researchers out there, you can email me.
Well, and certainly if you didn't have very many friends when you were 13, you'll have a lot of them now.
Yes. Beware the ones asking for a loan.
Yeah. Well, it's not the Nobel. I don't have that
You don't
much.
Have that kind
no,
of money.
This is all going into the nonprofit. So, yeah.
Well, and so how do they let you know? How do you find this out?
Well, I described it as it's like the piano that falls out of the sky, but it's a good piano. they really just call you and you don't know it's coming. And, you know, if you don't have a tendency to pick up calls from people you don't know, I would advise you to do that. I do, especially because of the kids, like I'll take calls. And I was driving, which I probably shouldn't have. But I was hands-free, in case anybody is worried, especially because it was a construction zone. So they called and they said, you know, we're from the MacArthur Foundation. Are you in a place you can have a private conversation? And I said, well, I'm alone in a car. And they said, we think you should pull over. And I'm enormously thankful that they did because, then I wouldn't have been around to enjoy the fellowship very long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where were you going at the time?
I was coming home. I had just done two keynotes for welcoming the new year kickoff for faculty at UW-Sheboygan and Washington County. And, you know, doing two intense keynotes in a day is draining. So I was pretty tired driving home through the construction right around Holy Hill for all the Wisconsin listeners.
Do you pull off after that and go get coffee or something?
Well, I was due to go pick up my son and take him to soccer. So I had to call my husband and say, I'm not going to make it in time. Can you take him to, leave work and take him to soccer and I'll meet you and explain what happened. So I drove right to soccer and luckily he was there talking to a friend and I just kind of waited and I said, well, I'm sorry I couldn't pick him up, but I have a good reason.
Yeah, the MacArthur Grant. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
because they let you tell one person. They tell you to tell one person. So I debated and then I picked him. Just kidding.
So when did you tell your kids?
We actually didn't tell them. We waited till the night that they announced it at 12:01 Eastern time, the 22nd. So that night at dinner, we tried to explain it. It's, you know, it's hard to give it context for them, but, you know, and it scared me to say it. But I said, well, to give you an idea, Ta-Nehisi Coates got it last year, and my older son knew that. And then Lin-Manuel Miranda, who both kids know
and are
rad about, got it last year as well. And they were like, oh, geez. And then my younger son said, They were starting to tease me already, which was great. That's our family, right? And he said, did you get this because you're really good at finding things? That's our joke in the house. Where is something? Go ask Mom. She's really good at finding things. So, yeah.
You could get it for worse things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really good at finding things.
You know, it's funny because we think of, like, you know, you get a secret. You're not allowed to tell anybody. And it's one thing when it's kind of a run-of-the-mill secret, but this must have been a difficult task over the course of a month.
You know, right after we found out, we went up to my parents live. They have a lake house up in Boulder Junction. And we always go up for Labor Day. My sister's family goes up. We go up. And it's just it's a great family time. It was beautiful weather. The kids were all swimming. It was great. And it was so hard that I just kept going running. And I'm sure they thought I was, like, I think she's getting a little addicted to running. But I just couldn't, and to be in the woods and, you know, run and just sort of process it. I've been running a lot in the last month. Yeah, just to sort of settle the thoughts and my dear colleagues in my department, you know, really, I've been in shock, really. And so I haven't been a normal, and I couldn't explain what was going on. And so I'm sure some of them thought I was ill, and I just couldn't. I'm like, I'm okay. I just
can't tell you.
I just can't tell you what's going on. So, yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. Well, we're glad the secret is finally out. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, and we look forward to keep talking to you about all this fantastic
work. The bigger dreams,
yeah.
Right? Like the bigger dreams and the next steps and what this opens up and what I'm learning as I talk to other people. You know, Will Allen, what an incredible thing to watch what he did and to see that and to anticipate, you know, what we might be able to do is just really, there comes that tsunami of gratitude again. I'm just really thankful.
And enjoy the new Tupperware.
Thank you.
Anne Basting is a professor of theater at UW-Milwaukee and the founder of an organization called Time Slips. She was named one of 23 recipients of the MacArthur Fellowships, the so-called Genius Grants, last week. You can read more about her work from links at wuwm.com.